3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. My name is Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And with me tonight, as always, my good friend and partner on this program, David Harris, who preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, and we are delighted to have you in our listening audience today. We want to remind you that we're airing tonight on KETX 97.7 out of Eastland, KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford, KQMK 1680 AM out of Hydro, Oklahoma, and we're also airing on the Gospel Radio Network. And we're thankful that we have our listeners tonight, and we encourage you to call in. The number to call in tonight, if you've got a question or a comment, is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We want to remind you also that you can go to our webpage, www.harrisonmoore.org, and sign up for a podcast of the program that we're involved in tonight. And Ryan Smithy, who is our webmaster, keeps those up to date. And so if you'd like to sign up and be able to listen at perhaps a more convenient time for you, we encourage you to do that. We also want to remind you that, again, we have an email we'd like for you to take advantage of. And if you have any questions, or if you've got topics you would like for us to discuss in the future, if you will send an email to questions@harrisonmoore.org, that email will go both to David's box and my box, and we'd be happy to entertain any thoughts for future programs, any questions that you might have in regard to things that might be that you might have a question about. We also want to remind you that on the Gospel Radio Network, there is a chat box. If you'd like to get involved in the chat box and you go to the Gospel Radio Network and you don't see it there, just refresh your browser and the chat box will show up at the bottom. You just sign in and you can get involved in the discussion. We also want to remind you tonight about our additional sponsors. We are being sponsored by the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, the Mount Vernon Church of Christ in Mount Vernon, Texas, the Ninth and Main Church of Christ in San Angelo, Texas, and also the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas. Now, the Windmill Church of Christ is located on 4839 10 Top Road, and we encourage you to visit the Windmill Church of Christ as well as all of the other churches that we just mentioned. All of them are faithful to the Lord. All of them will welcome you, and you will always hear the truth spoken at these congregations. Now, remember, our motto is, and has always been, and will always be, you have heard what men have said. Now, let's hear what the Bible has to say. You know, David, over the last several weeks, there's been a pretty busy week in regard to the radical homosexual agenda. Now, we at the Harrison Moore Expedition believe that the push for more acceptance from the homosexual community is a result of good Christian, principled people not speaking out against this abhorrent behavior. You know, David, we were talking just a moment ago about a quote that was made by Edmund Burke.
Mm-hmm.
It says, "The only thing necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing." David, we are living in a day when many good men and women are doing nothing and are not fighting back as hard as the homosexual are pushing their agenda upon us.
Well, you know, there are a couple of agendas that are being forced upon us by our government. Unfortunately, we've never had a government like this in my lifetime. There's never been a government that has tried to push immorality upon the populace the way that this one has. And one of the agendas is this homosexual movement to legalize and push for all states to be acceptant of this homosexual marriage, which is not any kind of a marriage whatsoever, but they want us to accept that. And then the other side of it is the abortion issue that our government is trying to push as well. And we're going to talk about that abortion issue here in just a little bit as well. These two issues, they are vibrant within our society. And we talked a little bit about the importance of knowledge here, the importance of biblical knowledge. Without this biblical knowledge, we don't know how to stand and where to stand, on what side of the issue to stand. You see a million people. I saw they claimed that there was a million people at this homosexual Macy's parade, Macy department store homosexual parade, that there were a million people that went out to watch it and participate in it. And I'm thinking that just baffles me. Why would you go out there unless you approved of it or you didn't really have an opinion of right and wrong, because you just flat don't know?
You know, sometimes I think, David, people just flat out overlook things. They don't want to be bothered with it. You know, and I'm thinking, why in the world would good Christian principled people not speak out against this abhorrent behavior? Could it be they're afraid? Mm-hmm. You know, they're being afraid of being perhaps pegged as homophobe or judgmental. Could it be because of persecution? You know, they're going to be pushing that law where if you say homosexuality is a sin, then you're going to be guilty of a hate crime. Mm-hmm. And so people are afraid to speak out against these things. But again, as Edmund Burke so beautifully quoted, you know, if we sit back and do nothing, then evil is just going to abound. And we're talking about virtue, David, and one of the definitions of virtue is moral, spiritual courage that's based upon, of course, a right standard, and that right standard is the Word of God. And so we live in a day when a lot of people, David, lack virtue, the moral courage to stand up and oppose things like it's going on over the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, but you know, and I think you said it right there. You cannot be virtuous if you don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know what the standard is to be virtuous, how in the world could you ever attain the standard?
You know, we got people today, David, who have no opinion really of homosexuality. And they have no opinion of homosexuality because they don't know what the Bible says.
Exactly.
The Bible very clearly condemns it as sin. So horrid was this sin that in the Old Testament, God condemned them to death.
Mm-hmm.
And that tells you exactly how God feels about that. Leviticus chapter 20 and verse 13 as an example, where God condemned to death those who were homosexual. So God looks very unfavorably.
No doubt.
Against those very things. And so people need to know what the Bible has to say. You have heard what men have said. We need to listen to what the Bible has to say. Now, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a comment or a question, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Tonight, we're talking about the Christian graces, and in particular tonight, virtue. And the reason we're talking about virtue tonight, we talked a lot about it last week, but David, there is a lot of things going on in our world today with regard to homosexuality, and one of them is the attack on the sanctity of marriage.
Yes, and that is a baffling thing, Tom, because if a person attacks the sanctity of marriage as God has ordained it, and he ordained it from the beginning of time, Genesis chapter 2, verses 24 and following, will tell you about how God instituted marriage. Now, when Jesus comes along, he makes reference to how God instituted marriage, and he makes reference to what God said when he presented Eve to Adam. Then when Paul, the Holy Spirit, inspired Paul the Apostle, when he writes about it in Ephesians chapter 5, he repeats the same thing that was said by God when he instituted marriage. It's a marriage between a man and a woman. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22 and following tells us that for this cause shall a man leave his father and his mother, shall be joined into his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Now, it's a husband and a wife situation, and as you read this, you get the idea that the whole concept here is all about marriage, the husband, the wife in marriage, but it's also a symbolization of the church and Jesus Christ being the bridegroom and the church being the bride. So if you condemn holy matrimony that was ordained by God, you have condemned not only marriage, the sanctity of marriage, but the sanctity of the church that was bought with the blood of Jesus Christ.
Exactly. And so, you know, anyone who believes that one can disregard marriage as God's ordained it, as he has ordained it, mm-hmm. not man, mm-hmm. or believes that one can amend God's word to accept a homosexual union and call it marriage, does not and cannot believe in the word of God, and as he has revealed it unto us, and thus, you know, David, they cannot consider themselves a Christian. Mm-mm. If a person disregards what the Bible has to say, they cannot consider themselves Christian.
No, they cannot.
And so, you know, that's important for us to understand. You know, if either is disregarded, as you just mentioned, the church, as God has described it, you know, there are a lot of people who are falsifying the church and doing things in the church their own way. Or if we falsify and do have marriages the way we want them instead of what God has ordained, either one of those different philosophies are going to show disregard to the other. You cannot have a homosexual marriage and make the proper application in the church. And if you have the error in the church and you're doing it the denominational way, does that not also reflect on marriage?
Absolutely, it does. And, you know, just last week we mentioned this, and I'll bring it up briefly. The Presbyterian USA leadership got together last week, and they took a vote. By a show of hands, they took a vote to decide what to do with homosexual marriage, and the vote came out, and they declared that homosexual marriage was Christian. As a matter of fact, the words that they used were gay marriage is Christian. Mm-hmm. Now, just because they voted on it, and just because some man said it, it does not change God's word. The truth does not change, Tom.
Exactly.
I got a little. I can't remember who sent it to me or where I read it, but when another preacher colleague of ours read this Presbyterian USA where the men voted and decided to call gay marriage Christian, it reminded him of a show and tell day when he was in the third grade. And he took a hamster to school, and everybody was playing with the hamster, and he gave the story and the biography of the hamster. And one little kid says, "Well, is it a girl or a boy?" And they said, "Well, I don't know." And they said, well, I know what we'll do. We'll vote." And voting on whether that hamster was a female or a male did not change a thing.
Exactly.
And neither will men and women that vote to accept an aberration, will it make it true and acceptable to God.
You know, it's interesting, David, that the Presbyterian Church talked about their church constitution.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of thought the Bible was to be our constitution.
It is the only constitution.
And men do not have the right to change God's law. They do not have the authority. God condemns homosexuality in the Old Testament and in the New. And, David, we have in times past spoken about this many, many times. Mm-hmm. And people know the verses we've been talking about, you know, Romans chapter 1, verses 26 and 27, that clearly condemns homosexual relations. And Leviticus 20, verse 13, that we already mentioned, condemn these things. And when people say that it's Christian, they are clearly disregarding what the Bible has to say. And if we disregard what the Bible has
done,
you know, that's it. You know, why have any kind of religion whatsoever? Why don't we just do whatever we want to? Let's just have a bunch of social gatherings, if the Bible is not a part of it, and if we're not abiding by what the Bible has to say, then nothing really matters morally.
Well, and this is where a little bit of a knowledge of the Word of God comes in, because Jesus himself said in John chapter 12 and verse 48, "He that rejects me and keeps not my word and receives not my word has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." So to reject the word of Christ is to reject your own eternal salvation. You know, and that's what's going on here.
Exactly. You know, David, we are being led by our president and his appointees to accept by law this sinful behavior and embrace it or face financial and legal penalty. Now, David, just recently, the Supreme Court set forth a ruling that is very significant because, you know, David, it seems like there's no one out there who is moral anymore, no one out there who has virtue. But I think there's some hope, don't you?
Oh, I think there's an awful lot of hope here. I don't know much about the Hobby Lobby people. I do know that they are tremendously religiously committed to their faith, and they have a lot of virtue. They've got moral courage to beat the band. They stood to be fined $1.3 million a day for not succumbing down to the Obamacare thing, the mandate that said that they had to pay for abortion medication to be given to women that were their employees, and they refused to do it. They agreed to pay everything else, but not the abortion portion. And today, the Supreme Court ruled that Hobby Lobby does not have to obey the HHS mandate, the Department of Human Services mandate that is a part of Obamacare that requires businesses to pay for abortion-causing drugs in their employee health care plans. Now, they stood firm on this, Tom, and they didn't weaken. Not one time. Money was not a factor. Popular opinion wasn't a factor. Political correctness wasn't a factor. They stood firm in their virtuous belief that it was wrong, according to God's word,
you know,
to abort a child.
Thinking about that today, David, I have come to be aware of how they produce that kind of abortion. They take a needle and put it into the uterus of the woman in where it's protecting the child, and they insert a poison in there that kills the child.
It's terrible.
And that's what they want us to pay for.
Yeah, and that's what they want us to approve of.
Yeah.
And we just keep throwing this stuff out. You can't get upset about one thing before they throw another one at you, and it's just over and over and over and over. Now, I heard a statistic, and this is one of the reasons that we're bringing this virtue up. I heard a statistic that today that only 50% of people in the United States of America that call themselves Christians, only 50%, Tom, are registered to vote. And only about half of that 50% actually do go and vote. Now, this is our problem. Mm-hmm. I've been told that they don't get involved because they think that politics is dirty. But the only reason that politics is dirty is because we don't get involved.
Exactly. And again, the quote by Edmund Burke comes into play. The only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Are we just going to sit back and not be a part of the democratic process and try to get good men into our government, men who have moral values? You know, David, we may not agree with everything a politician has to say. Like, for example, we were talking a moment ago about our last presidential election and how that a Mormon was running for president.
Right.
And you and I and many of our listeners perhaps do not agree with the Mormon religion. But when Mr. Obama became president, he now has put into the Supreme Court three of his appointees.
Right.
Now, David, when those voted against the about the Hobby Lobby scenario, it was 5-4, wasn't it?
Right.
And three of the ones who voted that they have to pay were three of the Obama appointees.
So in other words, when we're looking at this situation, we can't just look at, well, I don't agree with him because he's a Mormon, or I don't agree with this one because he did that. But if they stand virtuous, they stand for those things that are right according to God, such as abortion and the evils of it, such as against homosexual marriage and the evils of it, that if they stand on the right side of right here, then you may not get everything you want in the package. But remember this, you're not just voting for that man. You're voting for judge appointees from the Supreme Court all the way down to district court. And how many of these individuals do we now have that are openly homosexual that are trying to impose their views, not the law, but their views on the individuals over which they rule?
Well, what about in California not too long ago when the state voted that same-sex marriage was not legal marriage? Mm-hmm. They should be biblical marriage, but then the homosexual judge voted that down.
He struck down with a pen over 1 million votes.
Yeah.
That's how you cause a revolution.
Mm-hmm. One man overriding the will of the people.
Right.
And we have the same thing happening with our president.
Absolutely, we do. Absolutely.
And so we're living in a day when if we don't speak out, we're going to find ourselves in big trouble.
Absolutely.
Now, there are a lot of moral people out there. David, you were telling me the statistics of those people who were for
Yes, there have been a couple of polls run, and I was pleased to read the results of this Rasmussen poll. It shows there that most Americans disagree with forcing companies like Hobby Lobby to obey the mandate to pay for the abortion drugs, and the poll found that 38% of voters, they believe businesses should be required, 38%. But over 51% disagree and say employees should not be required to provide health insurance with this type of coverage. And there were 11% of the people that were just unsure one way or the other. Mm-hmm. But then there was another poll beside the Rasmussen poll that said 59% of Americans disagree with the mandate. 59%. That gives me hope that somebody now is ready to stand up and speak up for that which is right instead of just staying home and saying, oh, it's not going to make any difference anyway. On that Supreme Court ruling, one vote made the difference.
That's exactly right.
One vote.
And so we not only need to be opposed to evil, we need to speak out. And David, that's what virtue is about.
No doubt.
Moral courage to stand up for what is right and true.
Mm-hmm.
The number to call tonight, if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or a comment, is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. And if you're listening to us through the Internet, the Gospel Radio Network, we encourage you also to get involved in the chat room. Since we haven't got as much activity there as we have in times past, and we encourage you to either call in or get involved in the discussion with a question or comment, and it really helps the program, and I think it'll be beneficial to you to be able to express your thoughts concerning this vital issue.
And one thing, this is a toll-free number. We pick up the nickel. We will pay for the call. All you have to do is call 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Now, Tom, humanists, and humanists is a philosophy. Humanism is a philosophy, but it's also a theology, really. And it is one that says that it is absolutely and totally unnecessary to believe in God.
Mm-hmm.
And they reject any kind of supernatural power that Jesus or God may or may not have had. They want to argue that. But now humanists, they want us to believe that men and women are just a bunch of animals with absolutely no self-control, run around like dogs and cats, and we are just, as human beings, a higher level of animal, and we just can't help it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that kind of thinking gets us to where we are today. You know, human beings were created in the image of God, and as such, we have an intellect, and we can live a controlled, virtuous life if we so choose to do. Mm-hmm. But it's a very difficult thing in this society in which we live when we got even the President of the United States trying to promote this kind of behavior and say, well, you know, you just can't help it.
Exactly. You know, and so we've got American people, David, that seems to, for the majority, are a moral people.
59%.
But the problem is that a large number of American people and many politicians fear that they will be accused of being intolerant. There's also a prevailing attitude of live and let live, and who am I to condemn? Well, David, what is the result of that kind of mentality, fear and tolerance and, well, it's just live and let live? What's the result of that?
Well, when you have that kind of society, the immoral portion of the society starts to rise to the top. Mm-hmm. And they begin to mock God, and then they begin to push to remove. And that's what this homosexual marriage thing is. It is a push to remove God, to remove the Bible, and to remove all morals from our culture. And the result of this is that moral standards are not taught, except that everybody is a law unto himself. Whoever wants whatever, that's going to be the way it's going to be. And we're spiraling downward today, deeper, greater depths of immorality. And we say things like, if it doesn't hurt anybody, then I'll just do whatever I want to do. But there is no such thing, and we talked about this last week, there's no such thing as committing a sin that just affects you and you only.
Exactly. And so in our country, David, men and women are living together, not married. It has become really an accepted standard. You know, you see it propagated on the television shows, and people think nothing about it. They have come desensitized to it because mm-hmm. they've seen it so often, and doesn't even bother them anymore that these people here are living together, not husband and wife. Then you've got, of course, the prominent homosexual perversion. And they're becoming more militant all of the time, pressuring for laws that will allow them to marry and to be recognized as normal and as accepted. David, if our society accepts homosexual marriages as normal, what about bestiality? What about incest? What about pedophilia? Why outlaw any sexual behavior? If we're going to go away from what the Bible says mm-hmm. and do things our own way, why outlaw any kind of sexual perversion?
Well, if you take out the standard of right in this, Tom, then whatever trips the switch in a person's head that is in a position of leadership, only until that switch will trip will it stop. Say, I'll go along with that, I'll go along with that, I'll go along with that, I'll go along with that. Oh, but wait a minute, I don't agree with that. Well, why? Why? Is it just your own personal opinion? And evidently, that's exactly where we're headed.
It doesn't matter what you, I think, or what I think. You know, Isaiah 55, verse 8 says that God's ways are higher than our ways mm-hmm. and His thoughts than our thoughts. And so what you think and what I think don't amount to a hill of beans in worth when it comes to what God has to say. And that's where we have to get back to what God has to say. If there are no absolute moral standards and sexual preference is left to the individual, then in reality, David, there is no distinction between homosexuals and bestiality or any other sexual activity. Mm-hmm. There's no difference, and it does not matter if there is no standard, if there is no absolute moral standard.
Well, time and place does not change that, the moral standard. Just because we live in the United States of America in 2014, that does not change moral standards, Tom. The only thing that is ever going to change are people's values. Mm-hmm. God's values don't change.
Exactly.
They never do. They always remain the same.
Well, it's about time for us to take a radio break, and we'll be back with you in just a moment on the radio. You are listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.
Well, for those of you still on the internet listening to the radio program, we want to encourage you to call us or check in on the chat box at the gospelradionetwork.org, I believe it is. You can get on that chat box there. Just sign in. Get
the gospelradionetwork.org.
Is that what it said? Mm-hmm. I hope that's what it said.
I don't know if you didn't. I'll just verify it.
Okay, good. Okay. And you can get on the chat box there, and you can make a comment or ask a question. We will give you a Bible answer. We want to take this brief opportunity to welcome and thank our additional sponsors, the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas. Michael Light's the preacher there. The De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas. Right now they're in the process of looking for a good man, a good faithful Christian man who will preach the truth there. And they're in their search. Jeremy Sprouse and the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas. Also, the Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, with the good gospel preacher there, Terry Jackson. In Mount Vernon, you have the Mount Vernon Church of Christ.
Richard Rutledge there preaching.
You're right. And the Ninth in Maine Church of Christ in San Angelo, Josh Romo and Rick Popejoy are the preachers there. And then we have this new sponsor, the Windmill Church of Christ in Weatherford, Texas, located on Tin Top Road. It's just south of Weatherford. Just take off on that Tin Top Road, and when you get to the windmill, you know you're there. You're in the right place.
You know, Dave, when you look at all these congregations we just mentioned, we're just mentioning the ones that are supporting us. Mm-hmm. There are a lot more around, but these are faithful congregations.
Right.
All of them have faithful, good gospel preachers. All of them have members who are loving, and we encourage you, if you are in the area of Bangs, De Leon, Dublin, Rising Star, Mount Vernon, San Angelo, or Weatherford, that you attend and look up these people and ask them questions about why they believe what they believe.
Exactly, exactly. And so we're thrilled that we have these sponsors, and if it were not for our sponsors, we wouldn't even be able to be on the air at all. Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. I'm David Harris, the gospel preacher for the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, here with my good friend and partner, Tom Moore, the gospel preacher for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And by the way, the Hillcrest Church of Christ and the Hamilton Church of Christ, the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, they are big sponsors of this program. And sometimes we fail to mention them because we're so closely associated with them. But we're broadcasting tonight from Studio 4 at the Hillcrest Building right here in Stephenville, Texas. You can also find us on KATX 97.7 FM out of Eastland, KNNK 100.5 FM out of Hereford, Texas, KQMK 1680 AM out of Hydro, Oklahoma, and, of course, thegospelradionetwork.org. We have been talking about virtue. We have been talking about the importance of virtue, and we have been talking about a nation that is headed in a virtueless direction because of a total disregard of God's word from its leadership. But we mentioned in the last hour some very, very promising things. 59% of the people who were polled by the Rasmussen poll, Americans, they disagree with a mandate to have employers pay for abortion drugs to kill babies. And so this gives us a lot of hope. There are a lot of good folks out there, Tom, and a lot of good folks that want to do the right thing. Now, what we're trying to do today is encourage people to find out what is right, find out what is wrong, shun the wrong, do the right, and then stand up for it and be vocal about it, and let your vote be counted. We mentioned in the last hour that 50% of the people who consider themselves to be Christians in the United States of America are not even registered to vote. And of those 50%, only 50% even go to bother to go vote. So we've got to do better than that. As Christians, we need to stand up and make positive politics not a dirty word. Make it a righteous word.
Exactly. And, David, that's what virtue is all about. And that's what we're talking about, mm-hmm. virtue. And, David, you know, in Psalm 33 in verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is Jehovah, the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance." David, right. if we're going to turn this nation around and get back to what is established on godly principles.
Absolutely.
If we're going to get back to that state, then we're going to have to be a virtuous people and have the moral courage to stand up and condemn that which is wrong and uphold that which is right. And, David, we can do that.
Absolutely we can.
Because the Bible teaches that there is an absolute standard.
Right.
And because we have an absolute standard, that means a standard that cannot be wrong, a standard that cannot change, we therefore have the ability to stand up and oppose that which is wrong. And not only that, David, we have the responsibility to do that.
Right. And righteousness is something very closely akin to virtuousness. Righteousness is not an ugly word. It's not a dirty word. I've heard people use this, you're just righteous. Well, I hope I'm righteous, because all that means is I'm right according to God.
And then they say something like, oh, you're just self-righteous.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and that would be wrong, because I would be right according to self.
Yeah,
instead
but they're
of,
pegging you as self-righteous, yes, even yes. though you're only propagating the righteousness of God.
Exactly. And so when we look for that absolute moral standard, we've got to go to the standard, which is the Bible. And mm-hmm. and the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach or a disgrace to any people. Mm-hmm. And so if we want to be exalted as a nation, if we want to be considered by God a nation to be approved, a nation that will stand in liberty, if we want that for ourselves, then we've got to be a righteous people. We can't be an unrighteous people and be exalted. It will be a disgrace to God and a disgrace to the world.
And that's exactly right, David. And, you know, so godly people should teach and encourage moral behavior and object to and condemn immoral behavior. The Apostle Paul says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." Some translations say expose
right.
them. And so we let people know what is right and what is wrong, and we're not to have fellowship with those things that are wrong.
So there's two parts to that you just said there. It says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. So we can't even associate to a certain degree with these individuals that engage in that behavior, but we are to reprove them. It's not enough just to say, well, I don't agree with that. We've got to reprove them. Now, the only way to reprove somebody in the political realm is to get out there and vote.
Exactly. And also, David, you know, you mentioned there, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any political parties out there who might be designated as the unfruitful works of darkness in their view of abortion and homosexuality and things of that nature?
Well, if what we need to do is go up there with a clear mind and good knowledge of God's word and just make a list of the righteous and the virtuous things of one party and the unrighteous and the virtueless things of the same party, and then make a comparison here. Mm-hmm. But we need to make it. We've got to reprove the unrighteous behavior of those that are around us.
You know, it's not, David, a matter of what you have always been or what your daddy was.
Mm-hmm.
It's what is right. And that's the same with regard to religion.
Sure.
It doesn't matter what your daddy always was or what grandpa was. What matters is what is right. This does not make those who so teach self-righteous, as some people say, oh, you're just being self-righteous.
Mm-hmm.
No, in all sin, and all of us struggle for virtue, Christians, and we must all simply want to teach God's word faithfully regarding moral standards. Now, David, I don't know if you have that handy, but there was a quote that was made by John Adams.
I got it.
Really, I think, hits the nail on the head with regard to the importance of our nation being moral.
Okay, here is the quote by John Adams, one of our founding fathers of this country, and this is how this country was established. It is religion and morality alone which can establish the principles upon which freedom can securely stand. The only foundation of a free constitution is pure virtue. And if this cannot be instilled in our people in a greater measure than they have it now, they may change their rules and the forms of their government, but they will not obtain a lasting liberty.
You know, David, when we think about that, and he was exactly right, hit the nail on the head, I think back about to the days of the Roman Empire. You know, they were the most powerful nation in the world, and yet all that power was brought to naught because of the moral immorality and the corruption within.
Right.
You know, we might consider ourselves at least used to be the most powerful nation in the world. But now, because of immorality, we're sinking fast.
We are sinking so fast, it's scary. Well, I guess the question needs to be asked: can a Christian live a pure life in the midst of all of this immorality? And the answer to that, Tom, is certainly we can. God commands it. God expects it. The Christians in the first century, they lived in a horrible, horrible a place in under the Roman Empire. I mean, the morality wasn't even considered in governmental issues. The only people who had any kind of morals at all were Christians. Mm-hmm. And so when we look at that, we can see that they in the first century actually did live Christian moral lives. And we even have an example of it in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And
when you turn to that and reading that, I want to mention about the city of Corinth at
that
time. Corinth was a very wicked city, and so wicked were they came up with a byword. If a person was wicked and sinful, they say they have been Corinthianized,
mm-hmm.
to just show you the wickedness that was in that place. Well, in the midst of that wickedness, what did Paul command the Christians there to do, David?
Repent. Change their ways. And what he started out by saying is you are struggling and you are about to lose your eternal salvation if you don't change.
Mm-hmm.
And so in verse number 9 of 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he says, "Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" You can't go to heaven. He says, "Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." And then this is what he says, "And such were some of you."
Mm-hmm.
Some of you were like that. Some of you were homosexual. Some of you were heterosexual fornicators. Some of you were homosexual fornicators. Some of you were drunkards, extortioners, adulterers. All of those things mentioned, he says, you were. But you are washed, you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and in the Spirit of our God.
You know, David, in connection with what's going on in our day, there's a couple of interesting words and phrases there. He talks about effeminate.
Mm-hmm.
That has reference to a boy who is kept for homosexual purposes. You know, you see a lot of that today, an older man having a young boy as his mate. That's clearly condemned here. Abusers of themselves with mankind or men. Sexual perverts, homosexuality, all of these things, David, are condemned. And he says, and again he says, such were some of you. You can stop. You can quit. You can be right. And so, David, we see here that to be morally excellent, to be virtuous, we must rise to God's moral standard in every area of life. Sexuality, morality in regard to how we treat one another, stealing, lying, all of these things we need to be virtuous in. The person cannot be born immoral.
Mm-hmm.
David, it's something that they learn, is it not?
Exactly. For sure, it is what a child... There's nothing more innocent than a baby in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing more innocent than that, and then you have a baby that is just born. These are the most innocent creatures on God's green earth, and the immorality is a learned behavior, and it is one that is picked up very easily, and one that needs to be tempered by a God-fearing parent,
mm-hmm.
so that the child will not run amok and one day grow up and decide, well, I don't know what's right, what's wrong. I believe I'll just go with whatever my heart tells me to go with.
Exactly. And so, David, doesn't virtue have a nice sound and appeal?
Mm-hmm.
Virtue means to live a pure life with the courage to do what is right, even when those around us are not. And David, we are in that situation today. And a real test of the Christian is virtue. Living a pure life from day to day, resisting the temptation to live as the world lives. And that's vital. Now remember the number to call tonight if you'd like to get in on the discussion. 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Now, David, isn't it true that Christians are to be examples of pure life, to be examples of virtue?
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. This starts early in the New Testament with Jesus's Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8. He says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The pure in heart. That's what a virtuous person is. He is pure in his heart, holy in his heart, holy in his thinking. And that's a spiritual heart. That's his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going to be able to see God because he's got purity at the forefront of his own imagination.
Isn't it true, David, that the things that we do, the things that we say, do they not come from the heart? Whatsoever man thinketh in his heart, so is he, right?
Right.
You know, and people are involved in various things because it begins in one's heart. There's a passage that I was trying to come to, and I know what it says, but I can't remember what it says or where it's at. But it talks about the idea of when we involve ourselves in various sins, those issue from our hearts, our minds. Blessed are the pure in heart. If we don't have purity of heart, and we might instill virtue at this moment, we cannot see God. We don't understand what God's all about now, and most assuredly in the hereafter, we're not going to see God if we're not a virtuous people.
Well, when Paul, through the Holy Spirit, was speaking to Timothy, giving him instructions, this was a young man. He was able to be tempted just like any and every one of us. And so he instructs him. He says, Timothy, flee, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 22, flee youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, love, peace, with all them that call upon the name of the Lord out of a pure heart.
Mm-hmm. You know, David, in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34 and 35, it says, ye offspring of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. The good man out of the good treasure of his out of the good treasure bringeth forth good things, and the evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. That's what we need to be incorporating in our lives, virtue, moral lives, and then, David, we need to be setting forth these virtues in our lives so other people can see. You know, David, living a pure life is not easy at any time, really, but because we are physical and the world all around us is impure, and we are constantly being pressured to conform to this standard. David, you have a good illustration, don't you, of how that we can really become immune to the evils around us if we're not careful?
No doubt. Years ago, I used to train horses. And if you've got horses, you've got stalls. And if you've got stalls, you've got to clean stalls. And the world's standards are much like my horse barn was there. I was around horses all day long, Tom. And I never, ever noticed the smell of the barn. But when my son Jesse would come home from school and he would have to help me, it was part of his chores of the day. He'd come up there and he would smell, and he would always complain about the odor. But after a few minutes cleaning there in the stall, he stopped complaining, and the smell was no longer noticeable. The smell didn't go away. It's that Jesse grew accustomed to the nasty smell. Now, there is great danger to the soul in becoming accustomed to the smell of the world and allowing ourselves to be accepting of the world's standards instead of God's standards. Because, Tom, if we stop, if we cease to stand opposed to the immoral standards of the world, when we stop saying that that's wrong, mm-hmm. and when we stop taking a stand, that means we've become accustomed to the smell.
Exactly. You know, David, that's why Paul said in Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The actual idea there is logical, reasonable service. And then notice, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, David, that word transformed is very interesting. It comes from the Greek word metamorpho, where we get our English word metamorphosis.
Right.
And so we're supposed to have a radical change. And until we have a radical change in our lives, morally speaking, and with our living pure lives, radical change, we're not going to be able to make a difference in the world. People are going to have to see in us that there is a difference. And when we don't show that difference, we're not going to be making an impact in our world.
Well, if we decide to join in on the immorality, mm-hmm. instead of standing firm on God's side, if we decide to join in on that immorality, Tom, there is no amount of talking that will be able to convince somebody not to use God's name in vain, not to live in adultery, not to commit fornication, either homosexual or heterosexual fornication, not to be a drunkard. If we join in on the immorality, there's no amount of talking that we can do that will ever change another person's life, because at that point we have lost our influence.
Haven't you heard someone say, your actions are speaking so loudly that I can't hear what you're saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so people learn what we say more than by what we do. And so when we ceased to stop and don't oppose the immoral standards of our world, we then become accustomed to the smell. We see these things on TV and we just shrug them off. Used to, when you'd see something for the first time, it bothered you.
Mm-hmm.
It disgusted you, but now you're seeing it over and over and over again, and then we don't worry about it anymore, and now it's beginning to run rampant in our world.
Well, I'll just give you an example of that, how people just don't seem to think anything about a man and a woman shacking up anymore. It just doesn't seem to bother people to know that somebody is shacked up with somebody else. And did you know, Tom, I'm 60 years old right now, and it wasn't until I was in the fifth grade that I ever understood that someone could get divorced and remarried and adopt somebody as their own kid that wasn't their kid to start with. And the only reason I knew it then is because there was a girl in our class, one girl in our class, I was in the fifth grade, that had to go get adopted because her mother and father had divorced and she married another man and that man wanted to adopt her as her own child. It was a baffling thing for the entire class. The teacher had to spend the next part of the afternoon explaining to us how this could possibly happen because we didn't know it.
That's right. We become desensitized. And these things, David, are just like a snowball growing. If we don't stop and we let it keep rolling, it's going to get larger and larger. Now, David, we know that we all sin and come short of God's glory, Romans 3 and verse 23.
Mm-hmm.
We often fail to live pure lives, but, David, we should never give in to evil. We need to continue to strive to live a life of virtue before God and the world. John has something very pertinent to that very issue to say, does he not?
Yeah, this is what we are encouraged by the Holy Spirit to do. Now, this is not something that is just printed on page so that we can read it and go on. We need to be able to apply this to our lives because it is personal. It is individual. And the instruction by the Holy Spirit in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15 is this: love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that does the will of God, well, he abides forever.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we don't ever die the second death, because if we're doing the will of God, we're going to get to go to heaven. But there is absolutely no way that we can do the will of God without virtue in our lives. And this is the reason that we've spent 2 weeks on this virtue, because it is that important. And if we could, Tom, if we could get a good injection of virtue,
mm-hmm,
then we all ought to get it. And by the way, we can, and it comes from the Word of God.
Exactly, and that comes to what we talked about 2 weeks ago, faith.
Right.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And Peter tells us that we need to add or supply to this faith virtue. It is of no value to have faith in God, faith in Him as the Creator, faith in the Messiah, faith in His promises, faith in His Word, if that faith is not carried out by virtuous acts.
Right. And so we're just about out of time, Tom. And I know we had a few people that logged on to the chat box. And for those of you who are listening, we want to invite you to stay tuned next week, Monday at 7 o'clock. We'll be back on again, and we will be talking at this point about temperance. Is that where we're going next week? One of the Christian virtues that are the Christian
also
graces.
Also translated as self-control.
Right, self-control. A self-mastery, you might even say. And it is a very essential part of our lives. We want you to know what God has to say about all of this, not what man has to say, because you'll never get to heaven on man's advice.
You know, you can help us out a whole lot on this program if you'll begin to tell other people about the program on the radio, on the internet. Tell people what we're trying to do here. We need encouragement just like you need encouragement. So we encourage you to call in, spread the word, because we have an important message that our world needs to hear. You've heard what men have said. Let's listen to what the Bible has to say. You have been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible.